warning, this truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. In a couple minutes, we're going to have Nurse Maria back on the program. She is our Bob Inyart Live medical analyst, and we'll be talking, among other things, about a new Colorado law, which is coming to a state near you, which has the word, it's about health care, and it has the word manslaughter in the title of the bill. So what kind of health care manslaughter law might there be? Well, we'll find out from Nurse Maria in a moment. But in the effort to understand the world around us, bubonic plague, the Black Death, I want to talk about that for one moment. Where do things like that come from? God made the world perfect, a paradise for Adam and Eve and their descendants, but sin entered the world, and things have not been getting better through evolution, but they've been getting worse. So the Black Death, remember that in Europe, the bubonic plague, it destroyed, what, a quarter of Europe's population in the 1300s? Well, in 1 Samuel chapter 6, we read about a plague that produced tumors. Now, this is most likely the same plague bacterium called Yersinia pestis. And it produces tumors on people through lymph glands. And in the Bible, it says it produced tumors on people and rats. And of course, rats are an animal that could carry this plague bacterium called Yersinia pestis. Well, creationists in the book of Journal of Creation have been studying where does something like this come from. And they point out that there was a harmless microorganism that would live in the soil, and it was Yersinia pestis, but it lost, because of deterioration, it lost 149 genes. So it no longer is designed to do what God originally intended, because everything is breaking down. And then, as we know, there was a lateral transfer from other bacteria and from DNA of three other genes, and now a flea will have this bacteria in its gut, but there was a mutation. It used to be inside its gut. Now it's in the very front of its gut. And when the flea bites an animal or a person, it passes on this bacteria to the person. So this is not evolution of new things, new life forms coming into existence. This is an example of a microorganism that God made to maybe break down and process nutrients in the soil, and it mutates, it breaks, it loses information, and becomes a source of disease. We have to understand the world around us, and then we'll have more credibility when we talk to our neighbors and unbelievers and share the gospel with them. Now I want to go to Nurse Maria, our Bob Inyart Live medical advisor. Maria, welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me again.
It's so great. We're going to talk about three different topics. Could you explain them to us?
Sure. One is the Senate bill, palliative care exception manslaughter, that was passed in March.
That's the health care bill with manslaughter in the title.
Exactly.
That's now law in Colorado. And could you say the title of the bill again?
Palliative care exception manslaughter.
Okay. Palliative care means?
It means hospice care, comfort care.
Okay.
Not looking for cure, more for comfort.
When someone is sick, when they're dying.
Exactly.
Either because of, is it ever because how old they are?
Well, sometimes. Sometimes when people are really old, everything just
begins
is kind of going.
Shut down.
Yeah.
But usually it's because of cancer.
Cancer, heart disease.
Okay. So that's the one topic, the health care law with manslaughter in the title of it. That's the one topic. What else we talk about?
The HPV vaccine, and that they want to mandate it for girls as young as 9.
As young as 9. And one of our pro-life conservative talk show hosts in Denver has said that he thinks his daughter should get this.
Exactly.
Which is just devastating.
It is. And I think he needs to read about it more.
Okay. And then the third topic?
Stem cells.
Okay. Always of late, always in the news and very controversial. And we need to understand that issue because it has to do with life and death.
Exactly.
Okay. So let's start with the manslaughter health care bill. What's with that?
This bill is for physicians mostly, but also nurses who administer medication that, let's say Bob has terminal cancer and he's in a lot of pain and they're giving him morphine and give him some more. So eventually, because we think he has a lot of pain, that we have killed Bob because we've given him so much morphine.
So you could over-medicate someone and kill them.
Right.
And in fact, I've been doing this show for 15 years, and increasingly we hear from people who say they're distressed at how their loved ones in the hospital or hospice they're being given so much medication for pain, and they say they're not even saying they have pain.
Exactly.
And they're being given so much medication, and then they die or die sooner or much sooner than they would have otherwise. So that's a concern.
Right. And so the manslaughter is in the title because if the doctor or the nurse has overdosed this person to their death, but their intention was to relieve their pain, they can't be held liable criminally for killing that person.
Oh, boy. Now, your background for understanding these issues, in the audience, we know what a registered nurse is, an RN. You need a lot of education to be certified as an RN. But you are not an RN. What do you call your...
I'm a nurse practitioner, which means I'm an RN with a master's degree.
An RN with a master's degree. So that's the highest you can get, I think, as a nurse,
yes.
Okay. And so there is a problem. I see it as a talk show host and a pastor of people calling me saying they're worried that their loved ones are being intentionally over-medicated to kill them.
And they should be worried.
They should be worried.
They should be. This is how the Netherlands started out because they basically had been doing it for years. And if people were brought to trial in the Netherlands, they would just be given a slap on the wrist. Mm-hmm. So they were let go. And so over time, they eventually said, well, we're doing it all the time anyway. We might as well just do it out in the open with the law, the sanction of the law.
We might as well legalize euthanasia. And they did. And people had to give their consent that they wanted to be euthanized. And now, in just a few years, it's gone down the slippery slope to where they even euthanize children.
Without parental consent.
And newborns and babies. So
right.
At first they said, we'll only kill people mercifully with their permission. And then within a few years of passing that law, now they're killing babies and they're going to pass that law too.
Exactly. And they also euthanize 30% of their population that is ill or, they think is ill mm-hmm. without their consent. Without evidence of pain, without evidence of suffering.
If we look at history, the one thing that man learns from history is that we learn nothing from history. In the 1890s, a book was published in Germany. Germany was like the height of civilization in Europe for the sciences and art. And this book was titled Quality of Life. And it basically argued that if somebody doesn't have a good quality of life, they're better off dead. Became very popular in Germany, and pretty much that became the de facto position of their medical community. And then enter the Nazis, the National Socialists, and they adopted that and said, if people don't have a good quality of life, they're better off dead. And even in the middle of World War II, Germany released a major motion picture. In fact, the premiere was in Rome, of a doctor who killed his wife. He mercifully, of course, killed her, euthanized her because she was suffering so much. And so that's a foundational view of the National Socialist, who then went on to murder millions of people.
Well, there's a doctor in the Netherlands, and I'm sorry, I don't remember his name, but he said that if for today, euthanasia is a solution, for tomorrow, it will be for 100 other reasons.
100 other reasons. And I recall reading in a history book, it might have been a book called Cleansing the Fatherland after the wall came down and more records were available of what the Germans did, that Hitler's own physician suggested an idea for how to euthanize large numbers of people. And his suggestion was, let's just do it without telling anyone. So we'll take our hospitals and will start euthanizing people. And the way they did it is they would take someone who was in an institution, say a mentally retarded person, or they had tens of thousands of people they did this to. And they first moved the person to another institution, and they left them there for a month. And if there was no family member who complained, then they moved them to another institution and there killed them. And that was the plan. And they sent a questionnaire to the parents of kids that were institutionalized. And they said, like, mentally retarded or whatever, which is tragic anyway to institutionalize them. And they asked the parents, would you object if we euthanized your son or your cousin or your uncle, whoever the family member was? And the average response they got back of hundreds of questionnaires was, how dare you ask us this hard question? Why don't you just do it and don't tell us?
That's horrific.
And that's what the Germans did. That began the German euthanasia program. And once they killed tens of thousands of Germans, including gassing them, then they started killing the Jews. So what have we learned from all that?
Evidently nothing.
Nothing. We have learned nothing. We're speaking with Nurse Maria, our Bob and Yurt Live medical advisor. And so Colorado now has a law that is coming to a state near you where the doctor can, if a doctor medicates a patient who then dies, say from morphine, that doctor is not exposed to any prosecution.
Exactly.
And they're already doing that, would you say? And
I would say they are, especially in the hospice setting.
Hospice.
And ICUs.
ICUs.
Well, you had that story about Mr. Graybar and his wife.
Ray Graybar's wife. Ray Graybar is the producer of Bob and Yurt Live. His wife was in the hospital for cancer. They pulled out a tumor. They gave her a test. As best they could tell, she was completely free of cancer, as best they can tell. And so a nurse or whoever working for the hospital came in and said, Mrs. Graybar, would you sign this paperwork?
Do not resuscitate.
Yeah, this DNR, do not resuscitate. And she's like a little bit doped up, and she's willing to sign it, whatever they give her. And thankfully, her husband, Ray Graybar, is in the room, and he stopped it. And the woman said to his wife, Dorothy Graybar, she said, you know, if your heart stopped and we revived you, you would still be a woman with cancer.
That's so encouraging.
She's trying to talk her into dying. And Ray Graybar stopped and said, what do you mean she'd still be a woman with cancer? First of all, they just gave her a test. She's cancer free. First off. Second of all, you're not going to try to talk my wife into dying. If she dies and her body is shutting down and it's irreversible, that's one thing. Well, the next morning, she had a freak accident where something got in her respirator tube and she couldn't breathe. And she would have died if they didn't help her. They helped her. Now she's been home for months.
Right. And they would find that merciful to let her choke to death, I'm sure.
Yeah. They would have let her choke to death because she signed a DNR that a nurse or some woman working for the hospital, this is Poudre Valley in Fort Collins, came and said, you know, even if we saved your life, you'd still be a woman with cancer. You're better off dead, don't you think? Won't you sign this?
Well, these people just kill me because I don't see how they're perfect. Nobody's perfect. Everybody has something wrong with them. We can't just start killing everybody.
Yeah, well, that's right. And when you starve someone to death, you're killing them. When you're going to a patient in a hospital who's recovering and you're trying to talk them into foregoing some fairly simple medical care that could give them years more of life, and you're trying to talk them into foregoing that? Why? Like the governor of Colorado years ago, Dick Lamb, he said you have a duty to die.
Yeah, and isn't Dick's duty coming up soon? He's like 75.
Yeah, you'd think so, right? And if I recall, he did everything he could to save his father's life when his own father had a heart attack.
Well, that's interesting. Peter Singer's in the same boat. He says that people with Alzheimer's should be starved to death, yet his mother gets 24-hour personal care and she has Alzheimer's. I don't see her being starved.
Yeah.
But those are rules for other people. They're not for them.
Right. And that's often the case of socialist liberal elites, like who think everyone should be equal, except they should be rich.
Exactly. Just like our overpopulation friends, they never want to start with themselves.
Yeah, right. Good point. So now coming to a state near you is Colorado's law, our health care manslaughter bill that says if a doctor gives morphine or some drug to a patient, if there's a concern, did he over-medicate and kill the patient, he can't be prosecuted.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's going to exacerbate an existing problem.
Right. So people still need to be vigilant when their loved ones are in the hospital. You need to find out what meds they're getting, and you need to have someone stay there. That's just reality.
You have to stay there. That's what Ray Graybar and his daughter Michelle Ross did. They stayed there around the clock.
Right.
And they have a number of stories that are horrifying that
exactly.
they told of the health care of one patient.
Think of how much trouble you would get in if I was trying to sell you a car with a lease with it and you were intoxicated or you were on tons of pain medication. How could I even hold that up in court that you
right.
were could make a decision under those situations, but you're supposed to sign that you don't want to be resuscitated under the same circumstances?
Right. So there's a lack of wisdom. It's okay to let a dying person die. When you're irreversibly dying, it's okay to die. But that is not what the medical community is talking about today. They're talking about killing people who are handicapped, starving them to death. They're not dying. If they were dying, they could let them die.
Exactly.
They're not dying. They're earlier and earlier, they're wanting to harvest organs for transplant. So it used to be brain dead. That was the standard. Now it's circulatory dead.
Exactly.
And they're trying to change those laws, too.
Exactly. And what most people don't realize that if you are an organ donor, that if you're on some type of life support, let's say, and they say you're brain dead, you know, that can be up for grabs anymore, that they're going to take your organs out before they turn the machines off. And whether or not you can feel pain, I don't know. They're not going to give you pain medicine because they consider you just a corpse donor. Mm. And they're going to cut things out of you before you're actually dead.
So there's nothing inherently immoral about doing research on a cadaver or even an organ transplant, but because our medical community has crossed the line and now they are willing to kill the innocent to solve whatever problem they have, we can no longer trust that doctors and nurses will do the right thing.
Exactly. There's instances of people that are organ donors being in a car accident or some kind of head injury, and they're purposely killing them by giving them lots of fluid, which makes their brain swell, mm-hmm. things like that, so that they can get the organs.
All right. Now, HPV vaccine.
Well, the HPV vaccine is a vaccine against human papillomavirus, which is a cause of 90% of cervical cancers. But there are multiple strains of HPV, and only two or three actually cause cancer. So this drug hits a few strains of HPV, not necessarily the ones that will prevent you from having cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And Merck is the maker of the drug, and they stand to make $2 to $4 billion in 1 year if they can mandate that 9-year-old girls should get it.
And we have a Christian pro-life talk show host in Denver on the air who said he thinks his daughter should get this vaccine.
Well, and I'm sure that he thinks that because he's trying to protect her from something. But what are we really saying? Why would you give a 9-year-old girl a vaccine for something that is only sexually transmitted? Are you assuming she's going to be sexually active?
Right. And we need to teach our children that they are worth waiting for and that physical intimacy is only for within marriage. And we don't give them birth control. We don't give them condoms. We don't give them a Planned Parenthood credit card. We tell them that you will not be sexually active until you're married because you're worth waiting for. You're made in God's image. Mom and dad will disown you. You know, we do everything we can to tell them don't destroy your life because you can't give them a vaccine for their heart, for their soul, for their self-esteem. You can't do that.
No, you can't. And the other thing is the vaccine probably only lasts 5 years. So I guess when they're 14 and they are sleeping around, it's not going to protect them anymore. You're going to keep giving them a shot every 5 years?
Well, I'm sure.
That's not necessarily safe either.
I'm sure they would do that. And HPV has been especially discouraging to liberals because it's transmitted even if you have, quote, safe sex. That doesn't prevent HPV,
exactly.
human papillomavirus. And what percentage of college campus kids have HPV? It is a huge percent of young people in America have that single STD. And then there are others that are so common.
Exactly. But some of those, like I said, they're self-limiting. It's a virus sits in there and then it just kind of, you know, resolves itself. Mm. But, you know, it's a good question you brought up. If condoms are just so effective, why do we need a vaccine?
Yeah. And of course, condoms don't prevent HPV.
No,
and
they don't.
Apparently, HPV is a factor in cervical cancer.
Yes, it is. 90%.
90%.
So you can have your daughter maybe get the shot anyway, and she starts messing around at 14, and then here she is at 22 with a cervical cancer. She gets a hysterectomy, no kids, no future. Mm. Just like that, all because you didn't really want to tell your daughter and make a judgment, let's say, that you should not be having sex outside of marriage.
Yeah. You know, parents could have tremendous influence on their kids. Now, if a Christian talk show host is going to send his daughter to the public school, where she will be systematically mocked about her body. The students for 10 years, 12 years, will ask her for sexual favors. The kind of sexual harassment that would have a federal lawsuit if it happened at a Fortune 500 firm happens every day in our public schools to the young girls. So if you're going to do that and you expect after years of being worn down, your daughter is going to think of herself as a tramp, then your whole world view is messed up. You need to protect your daughter, not with a vaccine, but by getting her a Christian education, not a godless education, and letting her know your expectations for her.
Right. And if your children know that you love them and you want what's best for them, they usually will follow that.
They usually will.
And it's very frightening to think if the government mandates a vaccine like this, is the government then totally in charge of the sexuality of our children? Mm. Is that what we want to do? Like that homeschooler from Germany you had on where the school is purposefully, openly sexualizing the children at a young age?
At very young ages, they show them videos that are virtual pornography to boys and girls together in the classrooms. Aggressive sex education mandated by law in Germany. They've outlawed homeschooling. Christian schooling is virtually impossible. So it's devastating. Okay, so that's our health care manslaughter bill coming to a state near you. And then the HPV vaccine, which you can't vaccinate someone's soul or their heart. You have to teach them, don't be promiscuous. You're worth waiting for until marriage. And then thirdly, stem cells.
Well, stem cells are always in the news, and we rarely hear the success of adult stem cells. We constantly hear the whining about how we need embryonic stem cells. But as I've said before, all they do is cause uncontrolled cell growth, which is also known as tumors, cancer. They haven't done anything that proves that they will be effective whatsoever. Well, and every time we see these things, nobody asks the people that are promoting it what they stand to gain. Mm-hmm. They have all the equipment to do this research. They're just in it for money.
Well, embryonic stem cell, that's when they kill a baby, a fertilized egg, which is a unique living human being. They kill that to do medical research. Now, there are over 100 snowflake babies today in the world, in this country, and they are the most precious kids. And maybe people in the audience don't even know what a snowflake baby is.
They might
not. How about
not.
People in the audience? All right. Mostly don't know what a snowflake baby is. A fertilized embryo, a frozen embryo that's just in a freezer somewhere, and they're going to kill it, discard it, or use it for research, embryonic stem cell research. Well, there was an effort by Christian women to adopt these frozen embryos, and they've been adopting them, and then they implant them in their uterus, and they are pregnant for 9 months, and they're giving birth to these precious, beautiful, perfect little children.
And it's wonderful.
It's wonderful. And so when Republican Majority Leader Bill Frist, who's a medical doctor, pro-abort, wicked Bill Frist, says, hey, look, this is not a big deal. There's important research we'll get out of this. He's killing children, unique living human beings. And then Kaplis and Silverman, Craig Silverman on the talk show in Denver on KHOW, he said, if I cut off a piece of my skin and put it on the table from my arm, he said, that's living skin. That's human. That's the argument he makes.
That's ridiculous.
We just have to say, Craig, that can't grow into a unique human being.
No, and it'll die.
That's not someone else. You give that piece of skin food and water, it's not going to live. It's not a living human being, unique human being. But these snowflake babies, they are everything they ever would be genetically when they're frozen.
Right. Well, and the argument for doing something just because, you know, we can doesn't mean that we should. The reason we have all these frozen embryos is because all these people waited so long to have children. Mm. And then, you know, we did all this in vitro and we ended up with multiple frozen human beings.
Yeah. And abortion causes difficulty becoming pregnant. That's a factor.
Exactly.
And so when the egg is fertilized by a sperm, that brings into existence, procreation, a brand new living human being.
With its own genetic code, separate from the mother.
Its eye color, its fingerprints, all these things. And it's whether it's male or female, but also it has a soul spirit at that moment. You don't mix and add water, you know, 30 minutes later. It is everything it will ever be as a human being at that moment. And it is alive to God at that moment. And so when supposed pro-lifers think this is no big deal, they're wrong.
They are wrong.
You know, President Bush has been trying to stem the tide, if I could use that word. But tragically, years ago, he passed a law for funding of some embryonic stem cells research. And he didn't have to do that. He did that. That was another example of compromising. The federal government doesn't have to fund any particular research.
No, if it was actually going to be successful, private money would fund it. That's the point.
Well, that's probably true. But the federal government should pass a law and say you're not allowed to experiment on human beings. You're not allowed to kill human beings and experiment on their parts. You can't do it. But George Bush passed a law to allow billions to be spent on embryonic stem cell research, just in his typical compromising way. Well, we're only going to do this much and not that much.
Right, which was inappropriate.
Inappropriate. It's like using research done by Nazi doctors during the Holocaust on innocent victims.
Right, and eventually, I'm not sure anybody wants to see a sign at the bus stop that says we'll give you $2,000 for your seven-month-old fetus.
Mm. Yeah.
Because we want the parts.
Yeah, devastating. Right, we're trafficking in human beings and chopping them up to harvest their parts. And these are little kids who are being killed.
Exactly.
All right. Nurse Maria, it's an honor to have you in the studio.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Nurse Maria is the Bob and Yurt Live medical advisor, and it's so great to have her here. She comes by every month or two. And I want to encourage you to go to our website, kgov.com, especially to look at our Focus on the Strategy DVD. I just did an hour and a half interview in Columbus, Ohio, with the host, Coach Dave Dobenmeyer. And what an interview that was. He is promoting our DVD, Focus on the Strategy, Coach Dave Dobenmeyer. And he is the head of Minutemen United and quite a Christian leader out there. And he's going to air that program this week. And what I am going to do, we will air that in about 2 weeks here at Bob and Yurt Live. So you'll be able to hear the interview I did with Coach Dave in Columbus, and I think you'll enjoy that. And it was all about our DVD, Focus on the Strategy. And boy, did he urge people to get that DVD and watch it. Have you seen it? If you haven't, I urge you to call us or go to our website and order it. It's only $9.95 for one copy, but you could get three for $19.95 and 10 of them for $49.95. So you could go to kgov.com, check that out, or call us at 800-8-NYARDS. We'll be back right after this.
The murderers on death row today should be executed. Excuse me, what did he just say? My name's Doug McBurney, and I heard Bob Enyart say just that in 1995, and I've been listening ever since. I found out that the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel, and that Christianity and justice need not be mutually exclusive. A video titled God and the Death Penalty is available today at kgov.com. God and the Death Penalty examines God's ideas about justice. You'll learn the New Testament verses affirming the death penalty and understand why God never repealed capital punishment. Find out God's opinion. Order God and the Death Penalty today at kgov.com. That's God and the Death Penalty at kgov.com.
Well, I'm thankful that Nurse Maria was able to join us in studio. That went well. I started out the show talking about the bacteria that ended up causing the Black Death, the bubonic plague that destroyed much of Europe. And there are so many neat articles in two different publications. One is called Journal of Creation. That's what I was quoting from at the beginning of today's show. And if you're interested in Journal of Creation, you can check it out on the web at creationontheweb.com. And it's the same website for this other magazine called Creation. That's it, just Creation Magazine. They're also at creationontheweb.com. And I got to tell you about this. This is the magazine that I got that information about Saturn's rings are too clean. There are 4 billion years of missing dust on Saturn's rings. And so that's more evidence that the universe, and in particular our solar system, is young and not billions of years old. So now Pat Robertson has started worrying that global warming is true. And that he said today on the 700 Club, he said that he's become convinced that human beings create global warming. And wow, I thought by now he'd understand that the sun does global warming. I figure he would have thought that through. But there's an article here in this Creation magazine that relates to something that Pat Robertson just said today. So we'll get to that in a moment. But first, we're going to the phones in Denver, Colorado. Josiah, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Dad.
Hi, son. How are you?
Excellent. Great talking to you.
Thanks for calling in. You hard at work?
Well, yeah, I'm going to one job from the last one.
All right.
In plumbing, I'm doing some work on an investment property.
All right, super.
But the reason I called, Dad, was because I wanted to get your insight. I don't want to mention all the talk show hosts, but it seems like they're using scare tactics about the Middle East, and some people are saying we're looking at World War III, and I know your insight's always great. So
well,
I just ordered the best of Bob so I could listen to your opinion.
Well, thank you for doing that, son. That'll help us stay on the air. And then I guess you could listen more whenever you have the time when you're driving around town.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my call screener said that you also mentioned some guy on the radio saying the government pulled off 9/11, that it wasn't done by Islamic terrorists.
Correct.
Now, that was on today's show on a program hosted by Tom Martino called The Troublemaker. I mean, called the Troubleshooter.
The Troubleshooter.
Today he was the Troublemaker. And that's on KHOW Radio, one of our major radio stations. And he had this guy on who was giving these arguments that 9/11 could not have happened with terrorists flying planes into the World Trade Center because the planes couldn't possibly have caused the fire hot enough for the steel to melt and the buildings wouldn't have collapsed that way. And he said, for example, none of the terrorists were actually on the planes. And he said that the cell phone calls were all staged by our federal government because you can't make cell phone calls from up in airplanes flying at high speed, high up in the air. So those were some of his arguments. Did you hear all that?
I heard the steel and the cell phone. Steel was the most interesting.
Okay.
My gut feeling is it's all both.
Now, were you able to listen to the entire show, or were you working and just caught bits and pieces of it?
I just caught about the steel. I was working.
Okay, because your own father, Dad, called in to Tom Martino's show. And I was the first call Tom took in order to rebut this guy. And I said, Tom, I could prove that he is being deceptive regarding the cell phone calls. Because this guy said that they have a computer expert who's been flying around the country proving that you can't make a cell phone call from up on a commercial jet. So that was his argument. And so then he said all these calls were staged, which is so bizarre. All the guys who called their wives, their fiancés, they were crying. They called their moms. I mean, it's just bizarre to say that was all staged. But anyway, that's what he's actually saying. So I said, Tom, what he hasn't told you is that of all cell phones in the country today, let's say by singular cell phone company, 8% of their customers have phones that are old style, old generation. They want to get everybody up to the new phones. Well, years ago, it was more and more people had older phones, including 5 years ago during 9/11. A big problem the industry had was that people on airplanes could make calls, and if they went to dial their cell phone on an airplane, it would connect not to one or two cell sites, but to 6 or 8 or 10, and they would all try to initiate the call at the same time. And so what they've done, the industry has pointed their antennas downward instead of upward, so the cell phone signals are not going up into the atmosphere. And they've lowered the wattage of the cell phones. When they first came out, they were all 5 watts. And the signals went so far that they had this problem of multi-cell sites initiating calls simultaneously. They cut them down to 1.5 watts. So that it, so that 5 years ago, it was way more likely that a person on an airplane could make a cell phone call than it is today. So,
that's
son,
why I love asking you.
Oh, you're so kind, son. So, Josiah, I was thrilled to be the first one to get into Tom Martino's show. But when you hear that guy talk, he really puts together all these deceptions that sound like the terrorists could have never done 9/11.
Right.
Yeah. What did you think when you were...
I thought it was bogus.
Right. Plus, of course, Osama bin Laden took credit for it. And also, many of these bizarre conspiracy theories, I mean, there are some conspiracies, but one way you know a bizarre conspiracy theory is that the government would have to be omnipotent and omniscient. It would have to almost be able to do everything and anything and know everything. For the government to figure out who's going to be on those airplanes months in advance and then stage fake calls with actors to call the mothers and the fiancés and the wives and the kids and to stage all those calls. I mean, it's just bizarre. The whole thing is utterly inane.
Now, there was one more argument that was more convincing.
Yeah.
It was the attack on the towers before and how hot the fire was for how long.
Back in, you mean in 1993 when the first World Trade Center bombing occurred?
Yes.
Okay. And I didn't hear the very beginning. Maybe I probably missed the part you heard. He was probably saying the fire was hotter then than it was at 9/11. And if it didn't melt the steel then, 9/11 could never have done so?
Yes. And the rating of the steel, the temperature of the jet fuel fires.
Yes. Well, I did hear, I must have come in right about that point because I heard him say that, you know, what is it called? United Laboratories. If something is UL listed, that's United Laboratories, I think. And I heard him say United Laboratories certified that the fire, the temperature of the fire in the World Trade Center was 500 degrees. And right there, that jumped out to me as a red flag, as something that is probably not true. Just like when he said, matter-of-factly, he said, we have a computer expert who's flown around the country and he's documented that you can't make cell phones from airplanes.
Right.
And I got a kick out of that because a computer expert, why not a plumber? Son, you could have done it. They should have got a cell phone engineer and asked someone who's designed cell phone systems for the last 10 years, ask them, was it possible to make cell phone calls from airplanes?
Mm-hmm.
Don't get a computer guy.
Well, I wish people reported the news more accurately.
And the more accurate we are, the less room for people to make up bizarre conspiracy theories.
Well, Dad, I'm just pulling up to my job to meet my cousin Brian.
Yeah?
From New Jersey, who's helping me.
My brother Brian's son. He's a Christian guy, and he moved out here to work with us and attend Denver Bible Church. It's pretty exciting. All right,
so
son.
He's helping us with some plumbing, and I'm going to go help him right now.
All right. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thanks, Dad.
Have a great rest of the day. God bless you, Josiah.
Bye.
All right. So Josiah, that name comes out of the Bible, King Josiah. And when I suggested that name, Josiah's grandmother said, his maternal grandmother said, oh, don't use Josiah. That's not a good name. And I said, it's a great name, Josiah. It's the best king in the Bible. And she said, no, why don't you look in the Declaration of Independence? Look there. That has really good names. Now, back then, I didn't know that Thomas Jefferson was so evil. I didn't know that back then. That was in 1983. But I thought, okay, well, look at the Declaration of Independence. So she went up to the attic, you know, opened the trap door, pulled down a ladder, went up there, got this old dusty scroll, and opened it up, unfurled it, and it was an old copy of the Declaration of Independence, and all the signatures were at the bottom. And the very first one was a guy named Josiah. The first one. So she gave up. She said, that's it. I can't win. And I'm glad she didn't win because we love that name, Josiah. I'd have some other kid. Well, no, I guess he'd be the same kid, but a different name. So we're thrilled about Josiah. He moved out here with his beautiful wife, Jana, who's a Russian Jew from Moscow, who became a Christian. And they've been married over a year, year and a half now. And they moved here from, she lived in Brooklyn. Josiah lived in New Jersey with my brother, learning the trades. And they met, married, and they moved out to Denver so that they could raise a family while attending Denver Bible Church. So that's exciting to have my son Josiah call in. And my nephew, Brian Enyart, has just moved out here. He's moved out. He's, what, 24 years old or so? He's moved out to fellowship at Denver Bible Church and get involved with Bob and Yurt Live. And Brian is just the most fun guy. He's online at TOL, theologyonline.com. Brian's name there is Death to Impiety. Death to Impiety. So cool. All right. So Pat Robertson today on the 700 Club is saying that he's finally convinced in global warming. Now he believes in global warming. Wow, you mean he didn't believe in the sun until today? He never believed in the sun his whole life? Global warming, of course, comes from the sun. And for at least a few years now, I've been, when I debate atheists about the Christian biblical worldview, when the subject of the Ice Age comes up, I'm able to explain the Ice Age. The atheist evolutionist is not. They can't explain it. To have an ice age for major swaths, regions of the continents to be covered in ice, sometimes 100 feet thick or more, what do you need? You need a cold earth to have all that ice on the continents. But there's a problem with that, because if the earth is cold, then there will be virtually no evaporation. Evaporation shuts down when the earth is cold. But if the earth is hot, it's not, the precipitation will not fall as ice or snow. So how do you get the ice age? Well, this is how you get it. You need a cold earth with a warm ocean. Now, they seem to be contradictory, but that's what you need. When you have a warm ocean, that dramatically increases precipitation. So you get a lot more snow and rain and hail. And if the continents are cold, then you'll have an ice age with a cold earth but a warm ocean. Well, how do you get that? Noah's flood. God in the Bible says that the fountains of the great deep broke open, and water from deep under the earth's crust came up and flooded the earth. That water was warmer than surface water, because it was under the crust of the earth. That was relatively hot water. So the earth is flooded with hot water from under the crust of the earth. Then there was all the change in the surface of the earth, and the continents went through tremendous change. In fact, they buckled and slid, and the mountain ranges were formed, mostly north and south mountain ranges. And the elevation of the continents, they were lifted up, and then gradually, over the next few centuries, they settled some. And as they settled, the sea level of the oceans increased as compared to the continents. Remember, the continents were connected with land bridges? The continents were connected with land bridges so you could walk from one to another, from Asia to North America, from Africa to Europe. Land bridges were connecting the continents. But the Bible says that in the days of Peleg, the earth was divided. That was some generations after the flood, way back in Genesis. Where is that? In Genesis chapter 10? That in the days of Peleg, the earth was divided because after the flood, the oceans were hot, the continents were cool, and the continents were beginning to resettle into the crust of the earth. And as they sunk, the ocean level was raised, and that covered the land bridges. And so during that time, like if you go in Colorado, you go to a town that's 10,000 feet high. It's pretty chilly. What's one of the highest towns in Colorado? Leadville. What's the elevation of Leadville? Something like 10,000 feet? You go to Leadville, Colorado, in the summertime it's cool. In the wintertime it's freezing because it's 10,000 feet high. The continents were higher, thus colder. The ocean was much warmer because of the flood, and so you had the perfect conditions for an ice age. Huge swaths of the continents were covered in ice, and then gradually the earth came back to a homeostasis, a more steady state, and the ice receded, the ice melted, and we have the way we have it today. And today you have the polar ice caps. And according to Creation Magazine, the current issue, August 2006, on page 11, they talk about computer models regarding global warming. You know, Pat Robertson just said there's proof global warming, the ice caps are melting. And they point out in here, and they're referring to NASA, a NASA website, NASA news release. They point out that computer models are showing that if the globe really got warmer, then the oceans would get warmer, and that would increase the amount of precipitation so that more rain and snow would fall in Antarctic, for example, and that would increase the amount of ice in the Antarctic. We've been pointing this out for some years. In fact, it's a natural homeostasis mechanism where if the earth warms up, there's more precipitation, there's more rain and snow, and that tends to cool off the earth. So God has created the earth, so it's sort of just perfect, right? The earth is just the right distance from the sun. If it was 5% closer to the sun, how far are we from the sun? 93 million miles away. If it was 5% closer to the sun, what would happen? Well, the oceans would boil. If it was 5% further away from the sun, the oceans would freeze. That's pretty significant. The rotation of the earth on its axis, what if the earth rotated more slowly? Well, you know how it gets hotter and hotter as the day goes on? The earth would get so unbearably hot, it would be difficult to survive. And what if the earth spun a little faster on its axis? The winds would blow so hard, you wouldn't be able to stand up outside. So the earth has this perfect distance from the sun, this perfect speed on its own axis. The orbit of the earth around the sun is almost a perfect circle. It's elliptical, but it's so perfect. If it was heavily elliptical, like so many other orbits in space, then we would be a frozen ice tundra in the winters and a blazing, boiling earth in the summer. the Earth is just perfect. The moon is just the right distance to cause the tides. And the tides are important because they keep the ocean waters oxygenated so the fish can breathe. And those tides also keep the ocean currents moving so that the sea doesn't become stagnant and dead. I mean, God did such a perfect job in designing our ecosystem, the solar system, and our Earth. I mean, Jupiter, that massive planet of Jupiter, has such strong gravity that it literally pulls comets and meteors away from the Earth so that we don't get wiped out by a meteorite crashing onto the Earth's surface. So Pat Robertson is worried that man has created global warming. I'm convinced the sun has created global warming. And he says it's because it's been so hot the last week that that's what's convinced him. And, you know, Rick Warren, the author of The Purpose-Driven Life, he's joined up with the National Association of Evangelicals, and they're all holding hands with the far-left environmentalists, saying that global warming is caused by humans. Global warming. Of course, in the Bible, God assured us that summer, winter, fall, and spring would not pass away until he returns to destroy the earth. And at that point, you don't really care what season it is, because it's going to be pretty much the Big Bang, the real Big Bang. So Pat Robertson is worried. Global warming because it's hot. I guess if he was hanging around a few decades ago, he would have worried about global cooling in a new ice age because it was cold. And it does tend to get warmer and cooler over time. Climates are variable. They change. And when the ice age went away, it wasn't because of the Industrial Revolution. That didn't come for thousands of years yet. Hey, we're out of time. This is Bob Benyard reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.